We are in a sermon series called Momentum. We're going through the book of Colossians, and we're doing it through the lens of our church directives. Our mission statement is inviting and empowering all people to become passionate and engaged disciples of Jesus Christ. All people means you. This mission statement calls us towards movement, spiritual movement, and that's what we're talking about in this series. The book of Colossians calls us towards movement as well. So where do our directives and where does the book of Colossians call us to move? Calls us to move upward in worship, calls us to move inward in growth, calls us to move outward for impact, and it calls us to move forward as one. So last week, Pastor Steve started the series looking at upward in worship, looking at Colossians chapter 1, how our posture, our direction should be upward, elevating Jesus, who is our center, up as he ought to be. This morning, we're looking at Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to be doing it through the lens, the directive of inward in growth. So we're going to be looking at discipleship, being built up, becoming deeper followers of Jesus. So I want you to picture something for a moment. Picture that you're in a grocery store. You walk in to an aisle, and in that aisle, there's a toddler. And that toddler's unhappy. That toddler's throwing a fit because they didn't get what they wanted. They're throwing a fit. They're pounding their fists. They're throwing a tantrum. Okay, maybe we've seen that. Maybe we've experienced that. Now I want you to go again down that same aisle. This time you see two distinguished individuals, myself and Pastor Steve, walking down the aisle, and Pastor Steve told me that that extra snack wasn't in the church budget this year. And I start throwing a fit. I start pounding my fists. I start rolling around in agony. What would your thought be? Wouldn't you probably say, Morgan, at 31 and on staff at this church, you should not be doing that. You should be more mature than that, Morgan. Maybe is the thoughts that would go through your head. Because I shouldn't do that, right? I should be more mature than that. And I think that's a silly example, but oftentimes in our lives, in our spiritual lives, I mean, it should be pretty horrifying to us if we aren't maturing in our faith with Jesus, if we aren't growing in our faith with Jesus. And I think maybe for a lot of us, we can view our spiritual growth kind of like that of physical growth, where, in kind of tween years or teen years, people experience a big growth spurt, right? I don't know that, but I'm speaking from what I hear. No evidence that that's true, but I hear that is. So people have a big growth spurt, right, in their teenage years, and then your growth plates close and you don't grow physically taller anymore. And maybe for some of us, we've kind of experienced a similar trajectory where we look back in the past and we say, oh, that was a time when I grew a lot. But it shouldn't be like our physical growth where we hit a point and we're stunted in our growth and we don't grow anymore. Our spiritual growth, our growth with Jesus should be ever growing. We should have an ever maturing faith and relationship with Christ, where we're growing always more and more. We don't want to look back and say, oh, the last time when I really grew. And that was years ago, decades ago. We want to be people who are growing with Jesus every year. And in chapter 2 of Colossians, Paul gives a call to growing up. He's calling these people, these Christians in the town of Colossae, towards maturity, towards growing up in Jesus. And we want to be people who are growing up in Jesus, who mature in our faith and in the life that he calls us to live. The direction we're going today is inward. It's deep down. We want to experience inward growth, inward transformation by continually being connected to and united to Jesus. As Pastor Steve pointed out last week, Paul speaks very highly of this church in Colossae. He says, you are doing well. He says, you're fruitful. And then in chapter 2 is a call to keep going, to keep growing. So Paul says, you've started well, you're doing well, but keep going, keep growing. So if you have a copy of God's word, you can turn to Colossians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea. Laodicea was a much kind of bigger, more prominent city than Colossae. It was about 11 or so miles away. I'm contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all those who have not met me personally. So Paul knew some people in this church, but there was others that he didn't know. Paul never visited Colossae itself, but knew people from the surrounding area and from his travels in the region. So he knew some of the people and didn't know others. Verse 2, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I'm absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So even though he hadn't met all of them, they held a special place in his heart. He wanted to encourage them, helping them grow in wisdom and understanding and in a knowledge of God. He wanted to help them know the mystery of God. And what did it say? Knowing the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Verse 6, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. So just as you trusted in Jesus, now keep going, keep growing. Just as you started out, keep walking with him. Continue to live your lives in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So he says, continue in him, being rooted and built up, deeply planted, be deeply planted, be deeply rooted. And when you do, you're going to grow. Years ago, I lived in Cleveland for 4 years. And at that time, I became a first-time home buyer. And I don't know about you, if you've been in that situation, but there's kind of a little bit of nerves that happens when you get started buying your first house and you don't really know what you're doing. Because if something happens, you have to deal with it, right? So, example, if there was a big windstorm a week ago and part of your fence blows down, you have to deal with that, right? So a number of years ago, I lived in Cleveland and had a big tree in my front yard. Old tree, big tree. And there was frequent thunderstorms and things like that. And I was really nervous that that tree was gonna fall over. And some wise person said to me, and I don't remember who it was, so I'm just gonna give credit to Colin, that Colin is the person who told me this. So what Colin wisely said to me was that, look at your driveway. So my driveway there, the first section of it was kind of pushed up, and the first section of it was kind of raised, and then it went back down. So it was really easy to bottom out your car the way it kind of dropped, and you kind of had to figure out how to drive it. I became an expert. But it was the roots of the tree that were pushing up the beginning of that driveway. Then this genius person also pointed out, look across the street at that neighbor's driveway. Their driveway was also pushed up by this tree. So this tree might have been older, but this tree was deeply rooted. This tree had deep roots, and that tree wasn't going anywhere. The tree wasn't going anywhere. Its roots were deep, rooted and built up. Be rooted and built up. In chapter 1 of Colossians last week, we saw just the beauty of Jesus that Paul showed us. Christology is the doctrine of Jesus, and Colossians is just a beautiful book for understanding who Jesus is. In chapter 1, we saw that all things were made through Jesus. They were made in Jesus, and they were made for Jesus. That Jesus is before all things, and that him all things hold together. So that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. When you look at Jesus, you see God. And if there's any question of what Paul means by that, we see this in the next verse, Colossians 2, 9. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In Christ, all the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. Why is Jesus the image of the invisible God? Because Jesus is God. Trinity, 3 in 1, 1 in 3, Jesus is God. Verse 10, and it's in Christ, so it's in this one that you are brought to fullness. You have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority, that you have been brought to fullness in Christ. That's what Paul is telling them. Verse 11 and 12. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So in the Old Testament, the Israelites were commanded by God to circumcise the males. And that was the physical symbol or act of being brought into the covenant of God, into the family of God. And what Paul says here is that now these Gentiles in Colossae have been brought into Christ through faith, where Christ circumcises their heart, that it's no longer circumcision that is the sign, but it's baptism. That baptism is the sign of being brought into the covenant and the family of God. Verse 13 through 15. And this is just a beautiful summary from Paul here of the gospel. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, when you were outside of God, outside of faith, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That our sin was put on Jesus on the cross, and he took it there. And on the cross, Jesus triumphs over powers and authorities. That the cross is the center of salvific history. That Jesus is the center of human history. And in response of that, we must make Christ the center of our life. Make Christ the center of your life. But what we see for the Colossians here is that we shouldn't just make Christ the center of our life. We must keep Christ as the center of our life. When Christ is center, we'll lift him upwards in worship. When he is our center, we will continually grow more and more into his image. But for the Colossians, they were being pulled in different directions. Heresies were surrounding them, false beliefs that could have gotten them to move Christ from being the center of their life. They were being pulled in two different directions, each which moved them, which would have moved Christ away from their center. The Colossians had responded to the gospel that they heard from Epaphras, but now there are these pressures that are coming in upon them. And there are these pressures from two different sides. There was the Greco-Roman side. It's kind of the cultural side. It's where they lived. It's where they dwelled. And the Jewish side, the religious side, in which they weren't inherently, but now that they have trusted in Christ, that is an ever-increasing pressure. If we look back to verse 8 of chapter 2, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depend on human tradition or the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than Christ. That word that Paul uses for taking captive is used very rarely in Greek literature at the time. And it kind of gives the idea of like carrying off as like a booty or like being robbed or taken away. So saying like, don't be robbed by these things, these shallow and deceptive philosophies, human tradition, elemental spiritual forces. Don't be robbed of growth and connection to Jesus by these infiltrating heresies that can get you off of Jesus. This Jewish side was this Pharisaically religious side, heresy, that was pressuring them in. There's the Greco-Roman side, this cultural spirituality side that was also pushing in on them. And these two sides are pretty clear in what Paul's talking about, and scholars aren't sure if it was one heresy that kind of had a merging of these or a mixture, or if it was two separate ones, but there's some sort of merging of them, but from it, we can tease out these two sides, these two pressures of these infiltrating heresies. So how do we not drift to the right or to the left? How do we keep Christ as the center? We hold to him as our center. Verse 16, chapter 2. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival or new moon celebration or Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They're puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection to the head, with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Don't get a shadow of the thing, Paul is saying. Get the real thing. Get Jesus. Talks about false humility, which can so often come about from the Pharisaically religious side, or the worship of angels, which was how this, one of the ways in which this culturally spiritual side was getting off. They have lost connection to the head. And then I just love what it says at the end of verse 19 there. The body will grow as God causes it to grow. Ultimately, our growth in the Christian life is a result of God growing us. But we grow best when Jesus is our center. That is how we will grow, and that is how God will build us up more. But Paul says these sides have lost connection to the head. Nearly Headless Nick, for those of you who are familiar with that, should not be our aspiration as Christians. We shouldn't be just a little bit connected to the head. No, we want to be firmly connected to Jesus. But you and I can be so easy for us to be affected by opposing things that get us off of Jesus. We can so easily be affected by the culture in which we live in, right? This cultural spirituality we live in. You and I can so easily be affected by that. And we can so easily be affected by Pharisaically religious. So if you do this, do this, do this, then you will be okay with God. It's so easy for us to be affected in either one or both of these ways. But Paul says both have lost connection to the head, but are causing the Colossians, pressuring in on them, to cause them to move Jesus off of center. And I think as I speak of those two sides, maybe within you, when I said one of those, the culturally spiritual, the culture, how we're affected by that, or the Pharisaically religious, if there was one of those that really perked you up internally when I said that, yeah, we are affected by the culture we live in. If you, as a person, find yourself pretty aware of that side, I want to encourage you that it's probably likely that the side that you will be most affected by in terms of getting Jesus off of center is not the one that you're hyper aware of. It's probably the other side, the religious side that'll cause you to move off of Jesus. And if when I spoke of the pressure of the overly religious, the hyper religious, if you're like, yes, I am aware of that, it's probably the culturally spiritual side that is the one that might affect you more. The one that you and I are hyper aware of is probably not the one in our individual lives that'll cause us to get off center. It's probably the one that we're not as aware of. We will not grow inward with Christ if Christ is not our center. If he moves away from being our center, we won't be rooted and built up. So think about in your own life, how are you shifting? Have you shifted ever so slightly from Christ being your center, Christ being your all? Has there been a slow shift away from Christ just being your center, your all, and letting everything else flow from that? Paul says, have Christ be your center. Walk in him, be rooted in him, built up, established in faith, overflowing with thankfulness. If you don't hold to Christ as your center, if your roots are weak, you won't thrive as you ought to in your life. The more you hold to Christ as your center, the stronger your roots will be. And the stronger your roots are, the more you will be built up and the more fruit your life will produce. John 15, verse 4 and 5, Jesus says this, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." You can't bear fruit disconnected from the vine. You can't live being disconnected from the head. You can't be built up disconnected from the root. You can't grow spiritually in your life disconnected from Jesus. Remain in him. Let's look back at verse 10 as we start to wrap up. In Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Isn't that interesting? Paul says, in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. But then what is the tone of this chapter? Paul's saying, grow. So you've been brought to fullness, and yet there's this call to grow. How can both of these things be true? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 says, "For by one sacrifice, Jesus has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." He has perfected those who are being made holy. Do you hear that? You have both already arrived if you are in Christ, and you are not there yet. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "God made him who knew no sin." And who is the one who knew no sin? Jesus. God made Jesus to be sin for us, to take on our sin, so that in him you could become the righteousness of God, so that we could take on the life that he lived. We could take on his moral perfection, so that when God looks at you, sees Jesus, as if you had lived the life Jesus lived, righteous. And I don't know about you, but there's a little bit of tension when we hear that, right? Because you and I know the state of our hearts. We know our pull towards sin. We know how our minds aren't consumed by Jesus, but are so often consumed by anger and hatred towards others. We know our propensity. So God looks at us, sees you as Jesus. And yet at the same time, we are called by God to look more and more like Jesus. Grow inward. We are called to continually grow, always grow, looking more and more like Jesus. You are perfect in Christ. Now, because of Christ, grow in looking more and more like him in your life. Jesus died for you. The heart of the gospel is here in this, that Jesus took your sin. He died for you, so live for him, growing more and more in his likeness. Live for Jesus, grow in Jesus, always keeping him as your center, not being willing to shift ever so slightly one way or the other. Hold to Jesus always as your center, and you will grow. Live for the reason that you were created, of being united to Jesus. And as we are united to Jesus. Worship him, grow in him, bear fruit for him, and glorify God in everything you do. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you are the center of it all. Lord, help us in our lives hold to you as the center. Lord, there are pressures that we feel in our life that cause us to move you away from being our center. Jesus, help us keep you as center. Lord, grow us. It says you, we will grow as you cause us to grow. Jesus, help us. Help us to grow more and more into your image. Help us more and more to develop your heartbeat for humanity, for the world. Lord, help us to grow more and more like you. We pray this in your name.